Welcome to the broadcast of Riverside Church in Princeton, North Carolina. Riverside Church preaching Christ and Him crucified. For more information, check out our website at www.riversidefwb.com.
Thank you, Calvary's Cross, this morning. Thank you guys for being here. Calvary's Cross will be with us right when we finish up the Word this morning. Look at somebody that you didn't ride with this morning and say, it's time for the Word. Look at them and say, it's time for the Word. It's time for the Word. Go ahead and grab your Bible this morning. If you would, if you don't have a hard copy right there in your pew, you can grab your phone. But if you're going to be on your phone, make sure you ain't chatting, texting, TikToking, and Instagramming and all the whatever the kids are doing these days. But grab your Bible. The reason I'm asking you to grab and reach for your Bible this morning, because we choose to believe the Bible because it is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. They report supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of prophecy. They are divine, not human in origin. We here at Riverside believe in sola scriptura. It's a Latin phrase that means the Bible is our highest authority. Not the preacher, not the congregation, not the denomination, not the culture, but the Bible is our highest authority. Somebody said amen. This morning the Bible also tells us about sola fide, a Latin phrase that means faith and faith alone. We have faith and confidence and trust in something, and that something is really it's someone, and it's sola Christus, and His name is Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Christ alone is what saves us this morning. And that is called sola gratia, a Latin phrase that means grace and grace alone. We're only saved simply by grace this morning. And all of that culminates with a beautiful bow on top of those beautiful five solas with sole Deo gloria. God alone receives the glory this morning. The singing is for God's glory. The preaching is for God's glory. So if you would this morning, as we look in the summer of Psalms, and Psalm chapter number 96 this morning, Psalm 96, as we unpack this together this morning, the psalmist is basically repeating what is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. This psalm is written this morning to be used as a millennial praise. It's something looking forward to the future, and it's also quoted as the dedication of the tabernacle or the temple where they would gather to worship. As we unpack it this morning, I want you to realize that whenever we hear a song, it takes us back. Think about a song or a song lyric that would take you back to a certain place in time. It would take you back to a moment, like the song God on the Mountain that she sang a while ago. It took me back to when my mama would sing that song, and it almost wrecked me, y'all, thinking, please don't sing that song right before I got to preach. I'm going to be up here, there's going to be snot bubbles and tears. Mama sings that song. Don't And I'm glad they did another one. But it wrecked me too. Amen, somebody. She sang, keep strong. But this morning, the psalm that we'll be looking at, it says in Psalm 96, it was penned. It says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. This morning that the psalmist says, sing to the Lord a new song, is talking about a new song. The reason the psalmist tells us to sing a new song is because of Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23. If you know what that says, it says His mercies are new every morning. Come on, testify somebody this morning. His mercies is new this morning. So the song is new. Yesterday's song, yesterday's diddly won't get me through, because there's new grace for me today, so I can sing a new song. He brought me through. He kept me. He tethered me. He anchored me. He's the wind in my sails. He held me whenever somebody dropped me. When the doctor said, it's not looking good, God, He kept me through it all. Amen. There's a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. But it also transcends just from day to day. But it talks about in that millennial kingdom, well, there will be a new song resonating within the saints as they sing of His praises and His glory. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. The way you sing a song, I ain't one to sing. I can barely preach. But you got to remember. You got to have a sense of melody and repeating the melody. And that way it will carry on to a song. So it is fitting here that he says, sing to the Lord a new song. You have to repeat the melody. You have to remember. See, that's the problem with church folk. And let's be honest, is that we forget what God has already done. So our songs are a little humdrum. Our songs are full of amnesia because we forgot that God brought us through last time. We forgot that God kept us together. We forgot that God held us. We forgot that God walked with us through the valley. We forgot that God was with us when the diagnosis didn't look good. We forgot when God was with us when we put our loved ones into dust. We forgot when our hearts were heavy that He brought us through. So the song, it lacks oomph. Have you ever heard somebody sing? I know not here at Riverside, but oh, praise the Lord. And there's no strength to the song. But here the psalmist tells us, sing to the Lord a new song. Why would you sing Him a new song? Because His grace is new every morning. He kept me. He held me. When He could have and He should have killed me in my sleep, He stirred His beloved awake this morning. It's only by His grace that carries me through. Sing to the Lord a new song is what the psalmist says. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Even Jesus said, if they don't praise me, I will have the rocks cry out. Y'all, I hope no rock cries out in your place. For what has the stones experienced to cause Him to praise other than just being created? The fact that He's Creator and Lord who reigns over all of the earth is enough to praise Him. But beyond all that, has God brought you through? Has He kept you? Has He forsaken you when He should have? In spite of you, has He loved you? Amen, somebody. I'm preaching better than y'all acting this morning. Some hands can go up. You can stand up and praise His name. Has He brought you through? Or have you forgot the melody of grace? Has He not held you when He should have threw you down? Amen, somebody. Verse number 2, sing to the Lord, bless His name. Sing to the Lord. Calvary Cross sings to the Lord. They didn't sing to you. You just happened to be here. I ain't preaching to you for you. I'm preaching for His glory. Amen. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. That means make much of His name. Give credit where credit is due. In my household growing up, if there was something that was broke, somebody did something, it was me. I'm the one who was accredited to that. Well, Kevin did that. Look at there. Give credit where credit is due this morning. If God has kept you together, if God has bound up your broken heart, if God has brought you through a valley,
amen.
Give credit where credit is due.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't give credit to the stimulus checks. Don't give credit to the mask or the vaccines. Don't give credit to the government. Don't give credit to your denomination, your political affiliation. Don't give credit to your ingenuity. Don't give credit to your oomph. And just grinding and making. Give credit to His name and bless the name of the Lord this morning. I feel like y'all don't know how to act this morning. Y'all don't know what to do. So let us look at the hymnal that He gives us. He says, sing to the Lord and bless His name. You don't have to just do that on a Sunday morning. You can do that on a Monday morning on the way to work. You can do that on the bed of affliction. Whenever you're laying there and your body's wrecked with pain, you can bless His name anyway. Because happiness and joy are two different things. You don't have to be happy about your happenstance. Happiness comes and goes. Happiness is fleeting. But joy, let me explain what joy is. Joy is knowing that my Jesus loves me in spite of me. My Jesus redeems me and keeps me. I can be joyous riddled with cancer. I can be joyous even in the middle of depression. I can have joy. Unspeakable is what the Bible describes it, because I just can't even describe, because it holds me. It keeps me.
Amen.
Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. The psalmist says that His salvation carries me from day to day. Today.
Amen.
And we can actually unfold that, and many of the saints here will testify that it ain't just day to day, it's minute by minute. His salvation keeps me. Oh, come on now. I can't keep myself saved, because if it was up to me, I would have been lost a long time ago. It's God who keeps me. What do you mean? If I could lose my salvation, I sure would. It's God who started a good work in me. He's the author and the finisher. He won't give up on me in the midst of the test. My sin
Amen.
Will not negate His grace.
That's
Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds is what the psalmist tells me. His salvation from day to day. My God keeps me and holds me. I don't feel saved today. It ain't how you feel. It ain't, the Bible don't say we walk by how we feel. We walk by faith. What do the facts say? He will not, he will leave the 99 to find the one. Have you ever been that one who's over in the weeds doing what you shouldn't be doing at the neon lights? So drunk, you drunk as a skunk. Christ comes and finds you.
Thank you, Lord.
Unless you've been that wound, you can't really relate. But I think I'm in a church this morning filled with those ones. Where you didn't really go find Jesus, he come and found you. You heard that phrase, they found Jesus, they found religion. No, Jesus ain't lost, we lost. He finds us. I wouldn't have came to him if he called. He had to come to me because I was dead in my trespasses and sins according to Ephesians. He spoke to me and I came to life. I was dry, dead bones according to Ezekiel. He spoke over me and I came to life. It was him alone. So I sing of his salvation from day to day. It ain't just in the church when I open that hymnal and I sing Amazing Grace. It's when I go to work. It's when I'm at home with those kids and those grandbabies. When I'm doing my business, I'm doing it for his glory and I testify of his salvation from day to day, from day to day. I will say he will never forsake me and he will never leave me. He's the rock on which I stand. He is my God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
I tell of his salvation from day to day is what the psalmist says. And verse 3 says, I declare his glory among the nations. Well, we're going to tell the nations. We got to tell our neighbor. We got to tell our people across the table at the dinner table. We got to tell our people who live across the street. Tell the nations to declare. Don't keep it private. If the world parades in the streets what they should not be doing in the bedroom, then you can tell somebody publicly about Jesus.
Amen.
If they wanted us to keep our testimonies private, they should not have crucified Jesus in the public. Let's just say that.
Amen.
They publicly humiliated him and he died for everyone to see. So I will proclaim his glory in the square, anywhere he gives me opportunity to tell that Jesus is the source of my salvation, who keeps me and holds me in spite of me.
Amen.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Notice the peoples there is brown people, white people, Puerto Rican, Mexican, Canadian. It don't matter, all the cans. It don't matter. We're not gonna distinguish by melatonin in the skin all the peoples of his salvation. In a time when we separate people and try to turn them against each other, Black Lives Matter, police lives, all that, it all matters in God's eyes. He died for the Gentile and the Jew, the Greek, the Hebrew, and the mutts like me. Jesus died for sinners because that's all there is.
Amen.
So I will proclaim his glory. I will say much of his grace. In verse 3, he says, declare his glory among the nation, his marvelous works among all the peoples. His marvelous works is not just letting a tree grow in your front yard, letting your corn in the backyard grow into a full ear, your collards coming off good. And that's not just his marvelous works. His marvelous works include you sitting here in your right mind this morning.
Amen.
His marvelous works include you are able to get yourself up out of your bed and allow you to come into the Lord's house this morning. His marvelous works is to hold on to your mind when it's going every which way and he keeps you steady. Marvelous works. I will testify of his marvelous works. How he held on to your marriage. How he keeps you in your singleness. How he still loves you in the midst of your mistakes. That's marvelous. The psalmist says, his marvelous works among the peoples. You got to be around peoples. You see that? It says you got to tell it. You can't isolate yourself. There's no such thing as a long ranger Christian. Ooh, it got real quiet. Well, you've heard me say, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You don't. But if you're a Christian, you'll be in church. Let me say it again for the people who didn't hear me. Turn your hearing aids up this morning. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but if you're a Christian, you'll be in church.
Amen.
Among all the peoples that we to come together on a Sunday, we stir each other up for good works. Even Yogi had Boo-Boo. Andy had Barney. The Lone Ranger had Tonto. Who's your partner in this? Who are you bringing to church? Who are you stirring up to good works? Who are you gathering together with the faithful like it's commanded in Hebrews 9? Deny not the assembling together. What about a pandemic? What about it? Come. If it's dangerous, come. There might be a day they march in and kick the doors in and arrest every Christian. Come anyway. Worth it. He's worth all the praise, all the risk. He's worth it. What if I get sick? What if you do? What if you don't? He's faithful. Amen. He's worth it.
Amen.
Verse 4. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
Amen.
If He ain't done nothing for you, if He ain't kept you, held you, if He don't continue to hold you, by all means, don't praise Him. I got it. I understand.
Thank you, Lord.
If you think He's a letdown, a buzzkill, someone to just rain on your parade, by all means, don't praise God this morning. But if He's great, if He's greatly to be praised, let there be no limits on your praise this morning. And your praise and your worship this morning will look different than somebody else's. Somebody will sit there and there'll be a tear in their eye, but somebody in their heart will be leaping within the depths of their soul, praising God. You don't have to do cartwheels to praise God. You can simply fold your arms, nod your head and say, Lord, I thank You for holding me, for keeping me. When You shouldn't have. When I didn't even love me, You loved me. When other people walked out on me, You walked with me. In many cases, You didn't just walk with me, You carried me. If He's greatly to be praised this morning, then give Him a great praise. Simply say He's worthy. This morning, greatly praise His holy name. It don't mean you have to clap. It don't mean you have to grab the chandeliers and swing from them this morning. But greatly live in such a way that extols His holy name and exalts Him.
Amen.
If you were to go downtown, Smithfield, Goldsboro, Raleigh, and just stood on the sidewalk and looked straight up in the air, stood there for long enough, and people who were walking by say, well, what's he looking at? What are you looking at? You stand there and just, you try it now. You'll be a little crazy if you did it, but you stand there and see how many people gather around you and look. What's he staring at? Let your life be such a way that you're enamored with Jesus, that you capture a glimpse of His glory and you can't take your eyes off of Him. And other people will come around and say, why are you greatly praising this God? Oh, that's why. As they would have a glimpse of heaven and see His majesty and His splendor. Put your eyes upon Jesus this morning. From day to day, make much of His salvation. Keep your eyes off of people because people is going to mess you up.
Amen.
We don't sing for people. I don't preach for people. Because people will let you down and break your heart. I do it for Jesus. I do it for Jesus. And I will extol His salvation from day to day among all the peoples. For the great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In verse 4, He is to be feared all over other gods. I'll get it out. He is to be feared above all other gods. Notice in your text, it's a lowercase g. These are dunghill deities is what we call them on Wednesday nights. Dunghill deities. And we all know what that is. If you don't know, ask your wife on the way home. She'll tell you. To be feared above all other gods. Lowercase g. There are other gods, y'all.
That's right.
Many of us are acquainted with those gods. How do you know if you serve another god? I want you to imagine, just for a moment, what couldn't you not live without? What's that one thing that you did not have in your life you could not live without? Maybe it's your grandbabies. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your 401k or your bank account. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your church family. Maybe it's your preacher. But we can make good things. Those things are good. Into God things. And that's a bad thing. Smash your idols today. May the reason you breathe and draw breath, the reason you walk and talk and speak, be for Jesus. You serve Him and Him alone. All other gods. There are other gods. Especially in the church. There's sentimental things. We ain't going to take that plaque down because my great-grandma donated the land here. We make that a god. Or we change the order of the service. Well, ceremony is a god. Where we have to do this or we have to do that before God even moves. We got to pray before we do this or that. We got to have foot washing. We have to do communion. Well, we make ceremonies a prerequisite where God will move. But let me remind you, there was thieves on the cross beside Jesus. And Jesus turned his head to one of them who was repentant and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus turned his head and said to the man, he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Thank you, Lord. He didn't tithe. He never tithe. He didn't attend any church or any synagogue. He was a thief. He was there dying. And when he entered into heaven, they didn't look at the checkbox and say, "Well, you didn't do this. You didn't meet your quota on the tithe. You didn't wash enough feet. You didn't earn your way to get here." He'll say, "No, Jesus saved me completely and absolutely with no doubt. He said I could come."
Amen.
This morning we tell of his salvation from day to day, how he keeps us and holds us and qualifies us for heaven. You've heard me say that Jesus died for sinners because that's all there is. He is to be feared above all other gods. In verse 5, "For all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens." Here the psalmist tells us of idols. If you ever had an idol, you would understand what I'm talking about. An idol could look like your cell phone. It could look like a pack of cigarettes that we keep close in our heart, close to our heart in the front pocket. It could look like our little foo-foo dog. It could be our kitty cat. It could be anything. But in archaic times, they would have idols that would keep on a mantle, and they would have to dust them because their mighty gods were full of dust. But we look in biblical times in Genesis where God took a fistful of dust, blew in it, and became a living man. That's our God.
Amen.
These dunghill deities, are you worshiping something less than Jesus this morning? Are you giving something credit? Are you ascribing honor to something less than God this morning? Then that is your dunghill deity. That is your God that you're serving. Lowercase g. I thank the government for giving me this stimulus check. It's floating me through. It's keeping me. I thank my Smith & Wesson that I keep under my pillow at night for keeping me safe and locking my doors. I'm thankful for the Home Association to watch in for their neighborhood watch to keep me safe at night. I give credit to my neighbor, my friends. I credit my family, my bloodline, my bank accounts. Smash those idols this morning. Give praise to God who has kept you and held you in spite of you. Why do you keep saying "in spite of me"? In spite of me. When I blasphemed his holy name, he still loved me. But he gave me the air to breathe, and I will use it to breathe out cursings and blasphemy. When I was bitter and angry, holding back unforgiveness, he forgave me. He showed me grace when I wouldn't show other people grace. I worshipped idols and didn't worship him, and he beckoned me and called me to repentance. The kindness of the Lord leads to repentance. I know you might feel guilty and bad today, and you'll walk out of here with that guilt, and later on you'll drink something, smoke something, go do something to hide that guilt. But the kindness of the Lord leads to repentance. This morning, if you have a dunghill deity, something that you're living for other than God and giving something credit other than God, repent. They don't talk about it in church no more, the R word. We call it rated R around here. Repent. Repent. That means throwing down those sins and ascribing only to the one true God, the source of your strength, the source of your salvation.
Amen.
The psalmist continues, "For the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens." That our God created everything. And if our God created everything, that means He owns everything. There's not one part or one atom or neutron or electron over all of creation that God does not stand over and say, "Mine, mine, mine." His dominion has no corners. He reigns over everything.
Amen.
That's my God. Verse 6, "Splendor and majesty are before Him. My words and my vocabulary fail to describe the wonder and the grandeur of God this morning." This morning, you can think about a time where sin or something else will creep up beside you and say, "Jesus is better than that." For every time a Christian sins, is what they're doing is saying, "Jesus is not as good as this pornography. Jesus is not as good as this bitterness. This right here is better than Jesus," because that's the illogical fallacy of the wickedness of our hearts. I know I said a lot of big words, but let me just break it down. Sin will make you stupid. Sin makes you stupid, and sin is stupid. For we have something far better than anything this world has to offer.
Amen.
And like Judas, we sell Jesus out. for endorphins that run through our bloodstream, for that gossip that goes into our ears, and oh, it's so sweet. Oh, it makes our eyes roll. Oh, I just love to hear what they did and what they said. Bitterness and anger, that sin that we adhere to, we say that's better than Jesus. I do hope you're convicted this morning. Well, that's my job, being the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit, to fall on good ground, that you would dig out that sin and implant the holy word of God, that it will take root and bear much fruit in your life. This morning, he says, splendor and majesty are before him. I'm at a loss for words for that. Because there are days when I don't feel full of splendor and majesty. I feel dirty. I feel stained. But still my God beckons me to come unto him. Throw my cares upon him. For he cares for me. 1 Peter 5:7. Jesus even tells us a parable of the marriage feast. Whenever there's a marriage feast and the bridegroom walks through the marriage supper, and he sees the people enjoying the marriage supper, and he comes to one who's not dressed for the occasion. He says, where is your bridal clothes? Why aren't you dressed? It's not that he didn't have them. We must understand in that parable that the bridegroom provided the clothes for the feast. The man was there undressed. Well, I don't feel like being dressed for the occasion. I'm not talking about if you're wearing slacks or flip-flops today. I'm talking about robes of righteousness that Christ provides for you. The Bible tells us that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And you may not feel like you're righteous this morning, but facts are facts. Whom Christ sets free is free indeed. Though your sin is like scarlet, he will wash you and they will be white as snow. He will take out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. He will write his laws on your heart, and he will be your God and you will be his people, is what he says. He dresses you for the occasion. I don't feel like a Christian today. It don't matter how you feel. You don't walk by how you feel. Your feelings will betray you. Are you God's or are you not? He said here that he loves me. And if he said it, I'm going to believe it, regardless of how I feel. But it's so dark in this valley. He said he walks with me in the midst of the valley. I don't feel him walking with me. It don't matter how you feel. What did he say? This is splendor. This is wonderful. This is amazing. This is majesty on display. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Yeah, we come to Riverside and there are different churches. And look, we got beautiful sanctuary. It's wonderful. But that's not what the psalmist is talking about. His sanctuary, it's found in the hearts of men and women who trust in him. He dwells in his people. I know a lot of people who don't cuss when they walk through the threshold of that church. But once they get outside in the parking lot, they might cuss the preacher out. They might cuss you out if you cut them off. So be careful leaving. But his sanctuary is in the hearts of his true believers. Jesus told the woman at the well, it says, the believers will worship me in the spirit of truth. Not in the Temple Mount, not at Samaria, but in their hearts. I wonder this morning, is Christ dwelled in your sanctuary, in your heart? Or is it so full of you, there's no room for Jesus? Is it so full of idols that you've placed there on the altar? If Christ were to show up in your sanctuary of your heart, he'll say, well, there's no room on the throne of your heart. Who sits there? Maybe it might even be you. Or it's all about me. It's all about me. The world revolves around me. This church needs to provide for my needs, what I think and how I feel. Isn't that what church is? I'm a member. I'm a card-carrying member. I pay my tithes. I keep my dues up. You've not read your Bible. It's not about you. This church ain't for you. It ain't about you. You heard me start as Sole Deo Gloria, for his glory and his glory alone. There's not room in this church for two gods. Woo! That hurt somebody's toes, but your toes and the feet are in the wrong place this morning. Christ calls us to die to ourselves and serve him. That's the whole point. We are to be slaves to Christ, to lift up his name in his sanctuary, not just this building, but in our hearts. The preacher won't hear you cuss out somebody at IHOP today. But God will. The preacher won't see how you spend your time and your entertainment and your living room. But the master will see it. Let's weed it out. Let's get honest today. Are you truly God's? Do you truly belong to Him? I like to say I do, but my actions don't line up. Well, Judas rode with Jesus too. We read in the Scriptures. He looked like a preacher. He looked like one of the holy ones. But he's the very one to betray Jesus. Do you have a Judas heart today? Do you serve Him with all your might, soul, strength? Even when it's inconvenient, do you still serve God? He got real quiet. Didn't do any amens. I should have saved him up to the end. For all of God's of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Verse 6, splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Verse 7, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the families of people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. In verse 7, we see well, worship should be a family affair. I'm not just talking about on Sundays when we gather and Wednesdays. For those who don't know, we have midweek service. But it should be a family affair. Daddy should gather your children around and teach them the Scriptures and worship. Well, my children are grown. You can still influence them through your worship. Amen. It's a family affair. I was a youth pastor for about 10 years, me and my wife. And many times parents would drop off their kids and say, fix them, and walk away. And I would laugh. It's not my job to fix them. It's not my job to teach them the Scripture. That's Daddy's job. Ooh, it's not my job to teach them the songs of God and praise His name. Even in the Levitical law, Moses tells the fathers to walk with their children along the wayside, to bring the law always before them. What we do on Sundays and Wednesdays is just an extension of what you've been doing all week long. And that's why we sit in church and we roll our eyes and look at our watch, because we don't worship all week anyway. That's why we don't sing, because we don't sing all week anyway. That's why we don't pray on Sunday or Wednesday, because we ain't praying all week anyway. I feel like I might get fired. You can't outsource your worship. You just can't. Calvary's Cross is here today to bring glory to God, not to entertain you. We hire people to cut our grass. We hire people to work on our cars, work on our air conditioners. Even we drive to McDonald's to pick up supper or lunch. And we outsource a lot of things that we don't find time to do. And we think we can outsource our worship. We can hire the preacher to yell and fret and scream and holler and pray for us. And then we ain't got to. Like I remind you, I do this for God, not you. You're worshiping something. I just don't know what it is. It's not my job to know, but call you to repentance and serve the one true God in splendor and majesty, the Lord of hosts of all creation. Call you to repentance and serve and love Him and Him alone. It starts with our families. It starts in our households. How is your church doing? When I say your church, I'm not talking about when we gather together on Wednesdays and Sundays. The location and where your house is, the sanctuary. How is your church going? Are you ascribing and worshiping there in your home? Ascribe to the Lord, O families. Well, I live by myself. Well, it should be good then. You should be able to wrangle everybody up to worship. Amen? Amen. I live with a roommate. Well, worship. Worship in their presence. Ascribe to the Lord in verse 8. Ascribe to the Lord the glory to His name. Bring an offering and come to His courts. What do you mean bring an offering? Do I have to pay? Pay to play? No. Who do you ascribe credit and glory to? Many times we tithe not just because of the Levitical law. In fact, the tithe commandment goes before the law. Abraham tithed. Remember when we studied Melchizedek? He tithed before there was a law. The reason God has us tithe is because many times we hold on to our stuff. We rather have our stuff than God. We hold on to it and it becomes our God. We have confidence in our money other than God, who provides any and everything. So the giving brings the healing. Some of y'all need to tithe, because if you don't, you'll get confidence in yourself. Well, I got a nice nest egg going. I'm going to be all right. Even Jesus gave a parable of the man who had a great harvest and said, I will extend my barns and I will rest. And God spoke to him and said, you foolish soul, you will be reaped tonight. Don't put your confidence in your money, your pocketbook, your influence and your reputation. Put your hope and strength and nothing less than Christ and His righteousness is what I'm telling you this morning.
Amen.
I hope you smell what I'm cooking this morning. Ascribe to the Lord. Glory to His name. It's due. God is owed worship this morning. Ooh, that is so good. I don't have time to elaborate, but I know when you get home and you read over the psalm, did you know you can read this psalm in about 90 seconds if you read pretty slow? And I know I can drag it on to 30 minutes, 45 minutes, but that's just the sign of a good preacher. In verse 9, worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. We like the splendor part, for that means he's spotless, he's holy. But we don't like the holy part, but that means he's righteous and good, and we are not. Jeremiah 17:9, above all things, the heart is wicked. Who can know it? We are wicked. So we don't like the holy part. We like that God is love, love, love. We love that. But in actuality, Isaiah 6, is He's holy, holy, holy. And we are not. That's the worst part of Scripture, is that God is holy. It'd be all right if God is our friend and our buddy. We can hang out with Him. But God will not tolerate sin. He will not. He doesn't allow it in heaven. Why would He allow it in the hearts of His people? Amen, preacher. His holiness causes us to tremble before Him in all the earth. His holiness. If God is holy, then His people is holy. The distinguishing mark of a good church is not the number of people who attend. It's not the tithe, how much money you have in the bank. It's the holiness of the people. Are you holy today? Or do you manage your sin? Do you keep it in cages at home? Don't let anybody see it. But when you get home, you let it run all over the house and run all over your life. You simply manage your sin. I used this analogy about 4 years ago, and I might have used it since then. There was a little girl, probably about third grade, and she was going to Miss Barbara Wilby's class. This is a parable, y'all. It's not really happened. Let me just tell you. She went to Miss Barbara Wilby's class, and she was a strange little girl. She had a different appetite, and she liked things different than everybody else. Miss Barbara said, "Well, Lucy, how's your day been?" "Well, Miss Barbara, let me tell you, I got a new pet snake." And Miss Barbara said, "What? Okay, tell me about this pet snake." "Well, he's about this long, and I really love this snake." Miss Barbara says, "Okay." Well, Miss Barbara, in all her wisdom, she knows to watch over Lucy and keep an eye on her. As time went on, Lucy started to ask questions about animals and snakes. And she says to Lucy, "Lucy, why are you asking so many questions about this snake?" Well, Lucy says to Miss Barbara, "Miss Barbara, my snake's starting to act strange. At night, my snake, when I lay it on the bed beside me, it would straighten up and stiff and look at me. My snake would grow and stretch itself as much as possible. In fact, as I would lay on the bed and try to feed it, this snake stopped eating." Miss Barbara goes, "Oh no, I know exactly what's going on, Lucy. Lucy, you need to go home and kill this snake." Lucy says, "Why? Why do I have to kill this snake? I love Fluffy. Fluffy's beautiful. Got all these different designs." Miss Barbara said, "Lucy, listen to me. When you go home and you lay on the bed at night and that snake starts to size you up and straighten up and gets that glazed look over its eyes, whenever it's not eating, it's emptying out the cavity of its body. That snake is planning to unhinge its jaw and swallow you whole." I don't know if Lucy ever went home to kill the snake, but there's some of you who have pet sins, pet snakes that you ain't killing. You keep on riding your pocket, you open your pocket once in a while, you let it look at you as it licks its chops, and it's going to swallow you whole and ruin you. What are you getting at? Repentance. Repent of your sins. Stop managing your sins. And for the people who continue to attend Riverside Church, and for 5 years I stood flat-footed here, preached in tears, sweat, screaming, going cartwheels, anything I can to tell you to repent of your sins. And you fold your arms, roll your eyes, and continually to sin in the face of God. And I can't tell you that hell will not be more hot than it will ever be for you, because you hear gospel preaching week after week and you roll your eyes and stroll out of here and your heart rolls over a heart of stone and you will not repent. But those who adhere to what I'm saying, he who has an ear, let him hear. Repent of your sins and trust in Jesus. Your tithing will not save you. Your church attendance will not save you. Listen to me. I'm pleading for your soul. Repent of your sins. Repent. Preacher's talking about me. I don't even know what you're doing. I don't know what you did. I don't know what you're going to do. But I'm called to preach the gospel, and this is the gospel. The bad news first. You are a sinner. You deserve hell. But there is grace. Oh, see how I drug the S, grace. We call this amazing grace. For it's Christ who was born of a virgin, never sinning once, never dying, living a perfect life in my stead. And he took your sins and placed them on Christ. And Christ died as your substitute. As I illuminate the gospel to you today, either it will make you harder. You say, oh, whatever, I got to get to Golden Corral. Can we roll over? We got to get through this for the Methodists. Get out. I got to go. Or this morning, you're so broken, I can't believe Jesus would die for me. If you really knew me, you wouldn't even want to talk to me, but Jesus died in my stead. Grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy. Maybe this morning you think, I'm too dirty for Jesus to save. No, he beckons you to come to him. All those who are weary and heavy laden, those who are orphaned by sin, those who are broken by sin, come to Jesus. He by no means will cast you out. We need to hear the gospel every week, and every week here at Riverside, I share it with you. Do you know why? Because we keep forgetting it. Jesus died for sinners, because that's all there is. Thank you. Calvary's cross, come on and get behind me and get ready to finish this morning. As they're coming this morning, they're going to sing a song. I've heard this song before. It's a good song. And for those who are redeemed by Jesus, you're really going to like this song. For those who are saved by grace and grace alone, you're really going to like this song. But for those who can take Jesus, take him or leave him, this is just a time filler for you. Just like the rest of your life is simply a time filler until you meet Jesus face to face, and he will judge you according to your sins. While this song is playing, cry out to Jesus. Lord, have mercy upon me. Wash me. I'm stained to the soul. Will you forgive me? These altars are always open. You're welcome to come during the song, during the preaching. I don't care. Make things right between you and God today. Calvary's Cross, last song, and then I'll come and we'll close.